This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our guest is Tim Lust. Tim is CEO of the National Sorghum Producers. Our conversation revolves around year-round availability of E15. How does that fit within what the sorghum industry is looking for in the future? We'll find out. Right now, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey on planting and emergence for spring wheat.
The spring wheat crop planting nearing completion in many areas and 86% complete nationally. That's ahead of the five-year average of 79% and also on par with last year's number, which was also 86%, same as this year. Spring wheat emergence, 56%, and that compares to the five-year average of 51%, a little behind last year's 58%.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Stephen Orr. Today I'm joined by our special guest, Tim Lust, CEO of the National Sorghum Producers. Tim, thanks for being with us today.
Good to be with you, Stephen.
Tim, we have you here today because big news coming out of Washington, D.C. with the House of Representatives, anyway, recently passing the Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act, which finally sets up permanent E15 availability year round. That's a big deal for sorghum and for the ethanol industry.
Absolutely. I think it is one of those that obviously we have seen the challenges of moving this legislation in the past. We have seen the challenges of, you know, simply just getting votes in Congress, not only on this issue, but on others. So, a very important step and one that we want to celebrate today, while we also realize that there's certainly more to the process. But, you know, I think a lot of misinformation about this that was put out there, people love to use the word mandate when, as you said in the title, it's a choice, bill, not a mandate bill that really focuses on E15. And I think, you know, the other side of this is E15, I think, continues to have broad support, but, you do continue to get a lot of other issues that come up related to the RFS. And I think one of our clear messages is good for farmers and good for consumers. And, when we look at an average of 30 cent, savings at the pump, as we get this implemented, that's real savings for real consumers that matter, while also helping an agriculture economy that is certainly struggling and challenged right now.
Tim, as you mentioned, we're starting through the process. We still need to clear the Senate and get a signature. When this makes it to the Senate, what's your take on it? How do you feel like they're going to receive it?
Well, obviously much like the House, this has been through the Senate, and we know some of the battles. We got, everyone protecting something and, so continuing to figure out, how we thread that needle, and work through that process is something that we'll pick up now and continue on. So most policy doesn't look exactly the same in the House and the Senate, and then they have to work out those things. I don't know whether they would pick this bill up as is or whether there might be other things that'll have to, come down. But I would say that's normal. As we go through these processes, we work through those items and work through that. But the things that we do know, is my talking points earlier. This is good for the consumer and this is good for ag. And I think at the end of the day, that means that a lot of senators will want to support this, because from a standpoint of where we are at with fuel prices today and, where we are at with an ag economy today, it just makes a lot of sense to find a solution and get it across the finish line.
Tim, let's zoom in a little bit on sorghum in this. If this does go on to become law, what does that mean to the sorghum industry and to sorghum producers?
Well, I think for our industry, we have a dozen ethanol plants that utilize large amounts of sorghum to produce ethanol. And it means more opportunity for those plants to run. or, you know, for additional capacity to come online to be able to meet the needs. Again, it's something that's going to be market driven. It's not a mandate, but it's market driven. And, you know, today the clear market signals are there is to continue to bring more ethanol to the market, to lower fuel costs for consumers. So, you know, we just see that as a growth opportunity. It won't happen overnight. We acknowledge that, you know, there are people saying, oh, well, this will do this overnight. No, it won't. It'll take a little while for it all to work through the system. But there are a number of stations and a number of facilities that could immediately use it. So it could have an immediate impact. And then certainly over a 2 or 3 year time period, a much more significant impact.
Tim, you know, in the past, E15 legislation has tended to be bundled in, say, with the Farm Bill or with other things where it kind of, that may have been an impediment where that's easy to compromise on that. But how important is it that this is really kind of a standalone bill now and E15 is at the top of the list?
Well, you know, I guess our statement was is together, separate, we don't care, just get it done. And we're not going to tell Congress how to run their business. But we are going to tell them that this is business that needs to get accomplished. And so that's our talking points that we'll stick with.
Big news also this week with the president visiting China and having talks over a range of issues. But we have heard mentioned in some of the outflow of that soybeans mentioned, and certainly maybe not one of the top priorities, but they're talking about ag. What opportunities do you think might be there for sorghum? Do you feel like there are opportunities to come out of this?
Well, certainly sorghum has been mentioned in a lot of our activities. And I think when we look at our industry, you know, we went from not having much trade with China a year ago to tremendous trade, you know, 40, 50 boats this winter and spring. And so we're excited to see that trade happening. We're excited that the presidents have been able to get together because, you know, part of what we've been talking about is that stability of trade. We know China has been a very good customer of U.S. sorghum, but we've had this ups and downs. And so hopefully this meeting will lead to some more stability and allow us to get on with doing what we do best at production and being able to produce crop and market it to a group of consumers in China that will really want our product.
Tim, you mentioned production. When we look back here in the States, we've seen sorghum acres increasing. What's the outlook for this year, especially with some of the drought conditions we're seeing through the Great Plains?
Well, as you mentioned, on one hand, we have all sorts of meteorologists saying it's going to rain this summer. And on the other hand, we have had no rain for a very long time and it's extremely dry. So, we know that, you know, this is where sorghum tends to shine and, have a little bit of a later window of when we can plant and, ability to withstand some of that drought on the front end in particular. So, you know, we're still moving forward and, you know, I know a lot of farmers have set and waited longer than normal. But obviously now is the time of year where they're going. Farmers will go do what they do and put seed in the ground. But we do need moisture over a very large area because it is extremely dry from western Nebraska all the way down. So we'll continue to pray for rain and, good news for us is this is not something that's new for sorghum. We've been through this and this is something that we're used to. Just hopefully we get some rains here that get our crop up and going and off to a good start.
Tim, as we wrap up today, if somebody wants to become a part of the National Sorghum Producers or follow the work you do, what are the best ways they can get in touch and interact?
Sorghumgrowers.com is a great place to go there that has all sorts of contact information on everything from old school phone numbers to, you know, all sorts of messages and information that we have of what's going on in the industry and what's happening in the organization. So, that's a great place to start.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes out for us today and hopefully we can reconnect through the growing season and see how the sorghum crop's doing.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Again, that's Tim Lust. He's the CEO of the National Sorghum Producers. I'm Stephen Orr. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Dr. Brad Lubin is a University of Nebraska at Lincoln ag economist, talks about traceability and labeling issues, a couple of hot topics at this year's Cattle Con.
We certainly saw quite a bit of discussion on traceability and labeling, and I combined them both when I wrote about them in the column. But fundamentally, you pick a committee discussion and some element of it comes up there. It was part of the international trade discussion, because there's a new U.S. label for product of the United States. It's a federally defined label, but it's a voluntarily adopted label. It's a replacement, effectively, for the mandatory country of origin labeling rule that was passed back in the 2002 Farm Bill, but ultimately was found illegal in terms of trade agreements, and so it had to be dropped. Well, it was dropped for beef and pork. This voluntary product of the United States label is a viable alternative to replace it for those producers and processors and wholesalers, retailers that want to track that that pedigree and sell that labeled product. It doesn't stop the debate about country of origin labeling or some of the ongoing issues of labeling, but it is an example of where there might be a government role, a policy role, to define something, even if it's a voluntary market-driven solution.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Lubin with the University of Nebraska at Lincoln on taking students to Cattle Con.
You know, it's true for the students that attended from the Kretzinger program. It's true for anybody that goes to the conference and attends and realizes these are regular people within the industry sitting around a table, making contributions to the discussion, to the analysis, to the decisions about what the industry stands for. Whether you're in this group or that group or another group, being engaged in the policy process, being engaged in the deliberative discussions is an important part of being a leader in the industry. And that's something that the scholars learned by going to the convention, to see it firsthand, to see that engagement. They came home. We ran them through several more weeks. So we took them to convention. There's almost a week-long trip near the beginning of the semester. And then we come home and we keep them engaged the rest of the semester back in the classroom. And they were involved in analyzing these issues and actually presenting testimony in a mock committee hearing format. So get them ready. Get them prepared to contribute to the process, whether it's committee discussions or testimony to a legislative committee. They're ready to become leaders in the industry.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Rippey with USDA on winter wheat.
Condition is not good despite some drought easing rains in the south that came too late for the crop. 26% of this year's winter wheat crop rated good to excellent, down a point from last week. 44% very poor to poor. That is a 1 point increase from last week. This time a year ago, the crop was half good to excellent and just 19% very poor to poor. We did see a little bit of mixing of the numbers as we go through the weeks, but fundamentally no real change in the overall situation. Nebraska continues to lead the nation with 82% of its drought and freeze ravaged crop rated very poor to poor, followed by Colorado at 69% and Texas at 60%. Meanwhile, top producer Kansas this week, 55% of the winter wheat rated very poor to poor.
It's the Agribusiness Report.